Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Minority Friday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Democrats about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Time for the morning. Paul, Jay, and Chris on Minority Friday. And our guest, Representative John Gannon from District 17. Good morning, John.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Going to start you off with an education question this morning. Private school vouchers and GEM scholarships, expensive? Are they necessary?
Well, it's going to cost money.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority in the legislature is more interested in reducing revenue.
Mm-hmm.
There's a $200 million, they call it a tax cut, but it's not a tax cut for families, for parents with kids, but it does cut taxes for other taxpayers, the wealthier taxpayers. If you're going to take $200 million tax cut, you can't afford vouchers and some of these other things that have been proposed.
We've heard that if a family has, say, four or five children or something, that actually...
This is contrary to 50 years of tax policy. It's contrary to the whole policy that our government has had with regard to children. I mean, we want to educate our kids. At least for the last 50 years, we wanted to do that. And now we're actually raising taxes... raising the taxes on the families with many kids, and we're reducing the revenue available to educate our kids, and it is just contrary to what our state has done the last 50 years to do that.
How did it come to that? Who is winning in this with this?
Well, I think the winners are the people who make. Make more money, and I don't know what precise percentage that is, but maybe the upper 10% or mm-hmm. something. And single people do come out well. Our kids lose. Our kids not only lose at the tax at the tax level, the actual tax that the families are paying, but they lose because of the education budget. Will be much more difficult next year. And the kids that are going to the colleges and universities, their tuition's going up. The tuition has to go up because the legislature doesn't have the money to appropriate support for the universities and colleges, which actually have about as much support as they had 7 or 8 years ago.
So you're losing the $4,000 deduction.
Right.
Per child with House Bill 463.
That's right, and it's not replaced. And that's where the problem is that's where the problem is, and that's what creates the very, very unfair, result of this tax bill.
$130 a kid.
Well, they're putting in $130 a kid, but that's maybe a third of what you need.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 287, it becomes $287 tax credit per kid. Then that is revenue neutral. But that's revenue neutral. This is supposed to be a $200 million tax cut. So where's the tax cut? where's the tax cut for families? It isn't there.
No, you've done some of the math here. Two parents, the Spud family, you know, two parents, two children, $80,000 a year. Will end up actually paying almost 9% more.
That is from a one of the tax study groups, and he has revised that a little bit so that it's actually revenue neutral.
Mm-hmm.
The preparer of that, but I mean, $80,000 income, two family, two kids, and it's revenue neutral. This is a $200 million tax cut. Where's their tax cut?
Yeah,
in there. This is just a revenue reducing bill.
Yeah.
That's
so,
all it is.
Some of the people that we've talked to about it have said that they forced our hand. The federal government did with their tax cut bill. And how does that work? I mean, how is that justified?
I think you just pick and choose what you like out of the federal tax code. I think there's more choice involved in that than is being represented there.
6% of the general fund budget.
That's an interesting aspect to this, is that if you cut $100 million of this so-called tax cut is coming out of general fund revenue, that is roughly 3% of the general fund. So what that means is that the growth in revenue next year, next fiscal year, will probably be only about 3%. Now remember, we are the fastest growing state in the nation. Mm-hmm. We're growing 2% population growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's pressure on all our services, new schools, the county jails, you name it. And to start cutting taxes, cutting the revenue like that without replacing it, when you've got the tremendous population growth, and you've got the fact that we still haven't budget wise really recovered from the 2008 recession, and so you put all that together, and you've got some budgeting problems next year, serious ones.
So more people, more money, but more expense.
More need.
Sure.
Yeah, more
sure.
need.
Yeah. And roads, you have to have roads to these subdivisions, and it is a bigger burden.
We're talking with Representative John Gannon from District 17 on Minority Friday. It's 8:45.
You're listening to Minority Friday on 670 KBOI.
It's 8:49. On Idaho Talks Live, Minority Friday, we have Representative John Gannon from District 17 joining us from the Idaho Legislature.
You bet.
Let's talk a little bit about misdemeanors for minors. And there are some revisions going on right now in the legislature. What are they?
Well, misdemeanors in general, mm-hmm. We're taking a hard look at what kind of policies should be applied to the minor violations. For example, if you have an unpaid fine for a stop sign violation,
mm-hmm.
or for a misdemeanor, then there is your driver's license can be suspended, and a lot of people move and that kind of thing. They don't know their driver's license suspended, so they get what's called a DWP if they get stopped by an officer
without privileges.
And so there's a real question as to whether that should be a misdemeanor in itself, because all you've done is not paid a fine. And mm-hmm. so we've got a bill that is changing that so that it would be an infraction, and that would be it, rather than the more serious driving without privileges, which actually has 2 days in jail or community service obligation along with it. That is going to the House floor. And then a bill I've been working on, which makes a sentence for marijuana possession of half an ounce or less an infraction,
mm-hmm.
if the defendant voluntarily pays a $250 fine and does eight hours some community service,
yeah.
and education.
Where does filing a false report on school violence, where does that
right.
fall in?
Well, that's another bill that
it's a big problem
that
right
we're working on. We've got to look at this problem and do something. Idaho is part of the 21st century. Mm-hmm. I mean, like it or not, and we need to be looking at ways to protect our schools, protect our kids. This is really about kids,
mm-hmm.
and just like the tax bill should be about kids, we should be doing something to protect our kids. And one of the proposals that's come from the police is they need more ability to pursue and prosecute someone who has making threats and has the ability to carry out those threats. And so we have a bill in the legislature that that will do that, and it's going to the amending order today to be tweaked a little bit. But there is a law right now on that, but it isn't that strong, and it needs to be broadened a little bit to include all school grounds, that kind of thing. And so that's what we're looking on and that I'm working on. I have one of the amendments to that bill.
Are there a number of legislators that you know of who are very against turning a misdemeanor into an infraction?
I think the general consensus is that we need to review the way some of these laws are working, and in particular the one I described with regard to driving without privileges. Mm-hmm. And with very minor marijuana possession would not be an infraction, but there would be a penalty that would allow you to reduce it to an infraction, but it would still be illegal and
right.
misdemeanor. But I think there's a number of areas. Last year, we made the consumption ticket, first-time violator, a minor violation of consumption of the consumption alcohol consumption laws, uh-huh. into an infraction, and from a misdemeanor. So I think there is a recognition that some of these violations are not necessarily criminal.
Uh-huh.
They need to be punished, but in a better way than we've been doing.
But not everything starts out as an equal crime.
Right. And I mean, I'm all, you know, drug dealers, people who hurt other people. I mean, that's where our resources should be concentrated. And actually some of these minor misdemeanors are, actually clogging our courts.
Yeah.
And that's another driving force. The prosecutors simply have too much to do, the public defenders and the court, the judges themselves. So, but, there is no effort to make crimes that are serious any less,
yeah.
any less punishment for them.
School science standards have been approved, will take effect in full as submitted, and the majority party is saying we were misunderstood on this, we never wanted to take out global warming, et cetera, et cetera. How do you feel about all this?
Well, I'm just going to look at the bottom line result, and
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, the bottom, you know, the arguments on who he said, she said, you know, they've never interested me a lot. I want to see solutions and results, and I think that we do have a solution there and a good result.
I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson who said that you don't vote on science.
Yeah.
I mean, you do experiments over a number of years, and you have a peer review, but you don't just decide like, who prefers it this way and who prefers it that way.
Yeah, and it's you know, our kids are there to be educated, and they've got to hear all sides and be able to consider that.
Representative Gannon, we thank you for joining us this morning, and we've run out of time, but. Thank you for coming in on Minority Friday.
Well, appreciate it very much. Always enjoy it.
Back to work now.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna
back to the session.
Yes.
It's 8:56. Idaho Talks Live. Open phones Friday comes up after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris in session for an hour with Open Phones Friday. Kids Fair tomorrow. Chris and I will be there live and in color.
I mean, you know, as well as we can.
Yeah, we'll be there from 10 until 12:30. We're going to open the show tomorrow, so come on out and see us.
And let's see, Rick Worthington's going to be there, and Nate Shellman's going to be there.
We'll all be there at some point during the day.
Yeah.
And we urge you to come on out.
It's at Expo Idaho, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
$5 for adults, $4 for kids, and
listen to this.
Kids under two, I believe, are free.
Yeah, they are. Todd with no D's. So if you don't have kids under...
You'll be there too, right?
With one D.
Yes, I'll be there from 8 Todd. To 11.
Oh, okay. Todd will also be there.
8 till 11?
Yeah, I'm going to help set up.
Man, and tear down.
No, not tear down.
Oh, 8 till 11 a.m.
Correct.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll see you for an hour. Come on out and see Todd with 1D live.
See Ryder.
Yeah. Okay. Kids Fair tomorrow. It's fun. Come on out. Open phones Friday in session. Let's go to Pete of Boise. Pete, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
I hope you only have your usual five listeners, one for every 10,000 watts, because I'm going to deny this later. But I feel it's actually time for a woman to be governor of Idaho.
Anybody in particular?
Well, not Hillary Rodham Clinton, Paulette Jordan.
Oh, okay.
And I feel that her opponent will be Brad Little, but I'm willing to bet $20 with each of you that Paulette is elected governor on Tuesday, November 6th of 2018.
You should get like 80 to 1 odds.
I would.
Well, we're not going to make that bet.
Well, you're not going to make that bet. Yeah. Cease once won only by 1,600 votes, and I'm looking for it to be much closer than that, for Paulette to win by fewer than 160 votes.
Well, but she's got Cher on her side.
That's a minus.
Oh.
That is a huge minus.
Oh, well.
That's the only major celebrity that's bothered to endorse anybody. In the Idaho gubernatorial race.
Well, I wish Cher would withdraw that endorsement. I love her as an actress or a singer, but I don't listen to her as far as how I vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's never been the guiding light politically for too many people.
Well, I don't think she carries a lot of weight in Idaho.
No, probably not. So you're betting. Let me tell you Paulette Goddard's problem.
Jordan.
Yeah, see, that's her problem. Yeah,
Paulette Goddard's problem is she's been dead for a number of years.
Yeah. She was a movie actress, right?
Yeah, and she was in Charlie Chaplin films.
Well, if she walked in the room right now, I'm not sure I'd recognize her.
Well, she's 6 feet tall. She's drop-dead beautiful. She's tough and smart.
Well, that kind of separates her from the other candidates. I wouldn't call any of the Republicans drop-dead beautiful.
Well,
sorry, guys.
A.J. Belukov is a wonderful guy, nice guy, but he's only 5'4".
Oh, my, is he?
When they're doing their debates, he's going to look like one of the seven dwarfs.
That's funny. We have a new writer for the six horse, A.J. Belukov.
It'll be like a
devil's advocate.
It'll be like a Bush-Dukakis thing.
Well, it'll... ordinarily, people don't like to vote for sleepy, sneezy, or dopey. So we'll see if they do this time. Well, you gentlemen have a wonderful Friday morning.
Thanks, Pete. Well, that's what I'm trying to answer the phone. It's Paulette Goddard calling from the grave.
Yeah, I told them you were dead. I don't know. No, that's fine.
Hi,
okay,
Paulette.
Fine, we'll check into the license. Okay, thank you.
Let's go to Rocky of Napa. Rocky.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Listen, I've heard all week long about gun violence.
Right.
And And it's interesting to note that when SUVs were not in vogue, they were talking about an SUV ran over three people, an SUV ran off the road and killed four people, an SUV did this, an SUV did that. Nothing was mentioned, the moron behind the wheel. And I've never had a weapon get up and be violent. So, and here's another statistic.
So you're not into robot fighting?
No. Over 4,300 people were killed by drunk drivers. No one is actually causing or wanting the cars to be banned.
So, yeah, we've heard this argument before, but the school violence is on top of all of this other stuff.
Well, it is. And why is it? It's because I would say just about all of these people that have done this have been on psychotropic drugs. Every one of them. And the FBI knew this guy 39 times. They should have been the one that's held accountable for this. This is unacceptable.
Well, how about the armed security guard who hid behind a concrete pillar outside?
Yeah.
That's the one that really gets my goat.
That's exactly right. So what the hell is going on? And they knew this guy was going to do that. And they did nothing. They knew it. He had even said it. And they said, well, we didn't have it. What the hell is the FBI? What are they for?
Well, usually investigating things that have already happened for the most part.
Yeah. Investigating Donald Trump's alleged Russian. This is what they're doing with their time. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, there are thousands and thousands of them, right?
Thousands and thousands of agents and probably half a dozen working on the Trump thing.
Right, right. Yeah, and I wonder how many are told to stand down. We've got this stuff to do. It's pathetic. I mean, you got to look at it in the... These people were killed, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was set up because they want to get rid of the guns. They want to get people.
Oh, come on, Rocky.
I would.
No, Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. They were set up? Really? Really?
They let it happen.
Really?
These FBI.
Is that something that you would do?
I wouldn't do it, no.
Well, then why do you think other people would do it?
Because I think there's a lot of nefarious things going on in the federal government.
You think there are people who are evil that are working in the federal government because they don't like what you like?
You got that right. You can ask just about anybody that's got any common sense, and they realize that.
I never get to do that, though.
Yeah, I know. But then again, you know, they don't have... we've taken God out of school. We've taken the prayer out of school, Ten Commandments out of school. So what do you expect? And most of these guys are on drugs.
Math, probably.
Oh, come on. All right, Rock. Thanks for the call. So he thinks the 17 were set up by the federal government to get rid of semi-automatic weapons.
I would assume that's speculation on his part.
Well, he seemed pretty confident in his information. 9:15.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, Tom in the morning. Well, the guy was arguing with me over whether or not that guy was a resource officer or a sheriff's deputy.
A security guard.
Turns out he was both.
A security guard or a cop. I mean, he is a police officer who is assigned to the school. That's his beat, you know. And they're called SROs, which is a school resource
school
officer.
School resource deputy.
I mean, when I was in school, we had one. His name was... Detective Gene Ritchie.
But they're called school resource and deputies.
A friend of mine, Wade Spain, was one for many years.
Yeah, but he is also called an ex-Broward County Sheriff's Office deputy.
Okay.
So he's a school officer who works for the sheriff's office.
I went to Bora High School, and our officer was Officer Bora.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Was that just a coincidence?
I guess.
Okay. Interesting. Sandy says the Florida SRO did not enter because he knew he was outgunned. Same reason six sheriffs.
One to one.
Yeah, same reason six sheriffs did not enter Columbine after exchanging gunfire with the shooters. Six trained LEO pros waited outside for the shooting to stop.
Well, they're not exactly saying that. They are saying, in fact, the sheriff himself said he should have gone in and confronted the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Rachel wrote in to say, I'm a huge supporter, but that SRO should be ashamed of himself. Unarmed children did more to protect their classmates than he did.
Absolutely, and unarmed teachers.
Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Well, first of all, I like Chris's response to Rocky when Rocky said you need to talk to some people with common sense.
He missed that, didn't he?
And Chris said, I don't get to do that. But another thing, heroin doesn't kill anybody. I've never seen heroin jump up and go in anybody's arm either. That's the same logic he was using with guns. And, yeah, DUIs, we don't do anything about DUIs at all. We don't have any laws against that.
Yeah, they're against the law, by the way, you know.
Yeah. But the school teacher idea of arming them is just stupid, because you kind of touched on that. When they go into an active shooter situation, they go in there with SWAT teams that have body armor, they have rifles, they're trained, and they're in communication with each other. And so you're going to expect a teacher with a pistol to, you know, that kid that did that shooting, he was trained, I mean, because he practiced those guns. He knew how to use those guns. He probably used them all the time.
Well, he shot 150 times, so he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, one time I went to a paintball course when I was about 50, and those 18-year-old kids, they kicked our butts so bad that they started feeling sorry for us and loaning us some of their equipment. We had inch-and-a-half bruises all over our body. They just at first they thought it was funny shooting the old guys. Then they started feeling bad about it because it just got to be so humiliating. But you send in these teachers, and he's going to give, like, up to 700,000 teachers. What are they going to give them, a gun safety class and some target practice? That's not what it takes. I mean, it takes, you know, I mean, you see it on TV how these SWAT guys go in, one right behind the other. They're watching each other's back and from the sides. And being able to shoot with the paintball thing, I'd come around the corner, and there'd be somebody standing there right in front of me, and everything would go into slow motion. At least I would go into slow motion. And I'd fire that thing about 40 times and miss somebody 5 feet away from me. Those kids that have been doing that, they had it down. But it takes training.
Well, now, even the police say that when you're actually under fire, that trained police are have about a 34% accuracy.
Well, and you never know how you're going to react to a situation like this. Scott Peterson guy, the resource officer, he didn't know he was going to freeze and hide behind a post because he'd never been in that situation before.
Yeah, and going in there with a pistol, if you think you don't even know how many shooters and if they've got rifles, that'd have been suicide anyway. But, yeah, that's just it. You've got to be trained for that panic. And that's what that paintball thing, you know, I was talking about. It's that panic that you don't realize unless you've really trained for it. And you've got to train for it all the time. You can't just do it once and then never do it again. You know, I mean, it's just and we'd have the same situation. There'd be a teacher that might have a pistol, and she'd hunker down in her classroom with her students while kids were getting shot in the hallway, and then they'd be criticized for not going out there and confronting the killer. That's just not their job. And you can't have the police. You know, when police get in gunfights, you'll hear they'll fire 150 rounds, and like three of them will hit somebody. It's just nuts to think that you're going to send teachers in to do that. I don't know how I would react. I mean, if a guy was in there, if I had a gun and somebody was in a building with a rifle, I really don't know if I would go charge it in there or not.
Yeah. All right. You know? Thanks, Rich. We need to hit a break here. It's 9:27.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
All right, it's KBOI News Time, 9:37. Open phones Friday. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. Luther has. Let's go to Chalice. Luther, good morning.
Yeah, I'm doing my drug of choice, coffee.
Nice.
And I think we ought to invade South America and take all that coffee away. Make it ours.
Our coffee.
You know, what did the president give you in that speech?
I don't know. We couldn't listen to it. We were on the air.
Well, you didn't miss anything. If you had gone to any of his speeches in the campaign, you would have heard everything you heard. Okay. I myself, you know, I'm not going to vote Republican for anything, okay, mm-hmm. until they get the white trash out of the White House.
Ooh.
Now, that's how I feel. I think that Idaho has been disserved by the Republican Party.
How so?
For a long time. Well, just look at your average income.
Well, that's true.
you look around at the states that have better incomes, okay, and you see lots of jobs, better incomes, better economies, and a lot of those states don't have a whole lot to do with Republicans. So what we need to do is think about this. Either the Republican Party cleans up the mess they made of Washington, D.C. in 1 year. I mean, we've already had one impeachment proceedings. It'll probably take two or three more, and we'll get this joker out of there. He's just, you remember the guy that would play the peanut and shell game, you know, at the carny?
Right.
Okay. So you just put yellow hair on that guy, and you got a good idea of what's going on. Now, your one caller was talking about psychotropic drugs. I don't think he knows what those are. You usually give people like the shooter SSRIs, which are inhibitors, okay? And a psychotropic drug might be something else. But at any rate, nope, I'm not voting Republican anymore.
All right, just one quick question before I let you go.
Yeah.
Idaho's been ruined by the Republican Party. Why is it the fastest growing state in the union?
Because people are beginning to realize that they can't afford the taxes of those same good economy states. Okay, so there's a problem on the other side, too.
No
because,
question.
Because, I mean, we can't have higher taxes because there's no money for it. So what happened to your taxes in this state? They're going up? Thank you very much, Mr. Trump. That's the way I see it. Help the rich. And, you know, you should look up something in Scotland called the clearances in Scotland and Northern England. And see what they did to poor people.
Okay.
They take your town and move it. Thank
All
you.
Right. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Luther.
Jeff Meridian says, anybody booking flights lately needs to watch out for this new class called basic economy. People think it's regular economy, but it's not. It's below economy, and there are many restrictions, no carry-on, etc., and you only board after all the domestic animals have been boarded and bedded down. Just watch it.
Wow. Let's go to pro-life. Pro-life.
I had not heard of that.
Me neither.
Well, you know, Luther, I don't know how many people he talks to that are moving here, but I talk to a lot of people that are moving, and they're moving from places that are, I guess you'd say, corrupt. You know, they don't like the violence and the economy, but mostly they're moving here for safety and for faith reasons. And so that's why Idaho's growing. They're not moving here necessarily for economic betterment. Some of them, you know, lots of them are retired people. They sell their home for a huge amount of money, say like in California, and
yeah.
They can buy a much better home and have some money left over here.
Yeah, live off
Are they coming to Idaho to meet like-minded people?
Yeah, they like guys like me, so they're moving here.
Okay.
But anyway, what I wanted to talk about is I lived in Mexico for a couple of years, and in 1980 they took all of their guns out of Mexico. You can't own a gun in Mexico. You can have maybe a varmint gun if you're a farmer. You can get some kind of a permit like that, but very few people have those. And so the cartels just, they can go into the countryside and nobody can fight back.
Yeah, it's not a good place.
No, it's not. And I guess if I was a Mexican, I'd want to cross the border just to get away from that. And if somehow Google the number of cartel deaths, you know, in Mexico, it's huge. It's one of the world's biggest problems, and we don't talk about it much up here, but if the United States could pressure the country of Mexico to bring firearms back to their people, it would really change a lot of things. And but the real problem is that life is cheap. You know, we murder thousands of babies through abortion every day, and on the television you just see people getting shot up everywhere, and the movies, and, you know, it's just for somebody to get killed is just, you know, an every minute kind of a thing in entertainment. So I don't know. We just
life is cheap until it's yours.
Right.
Yeah, and then it's all of a sudden worth something.
Right, and so, you know, you take like the castle doctrine where somebody's in your house in the middle of the night, so you just shoot them. I don't believe in that. I believe you have to warn them. Are you a drunk? What are you doing in my house? You know, they're in the dark. They don't know where you're at. I don't think you just shoot somebody. That's disrespecting life. And so, you know, when you have a firearm, you have to be respectful of life all the time. You just don't think about yourself first. And, well, anyway, that's about all I got to say. So keep on going there. God bless you guys.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, there are people who... There are people who throughout their life will do only what is good for them personally in every situation without even giving it a second's thought, simply because it's always worked out well for them. Mm-hmm. And if you do that to a certain extent, we call that a sociopath, somebody to whom other people are not the least bit important simply because mostly they just get in the way.
True. True. 9:45.
A prosecutor has made a ruling in the case of Boise police officers of whether or not they were justified in shooting a suspect last September. We'll tell you more coming up on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, a lot of callers on the line. We'll try to get as many of you on as we can. Let's go to Doug in Meridian. Doug.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
It's good to hear your voice. Your voice sounds different today, Paul J.
Yeah, I got a cold. Sorry about that.
Take care of that.
I will.
I wanted to ask if how Rick Worthington's wife and son are doing with their cancer.
They're doing better.
Rick's here.
Yeah, let's
let's put him on.
That's nice of somebody to ask. My wife is doing much better, recovering well. My son and wife are still going through chemotherapy and hopefully will be done sometime midsummer. So
I pray for those two all the time.
That's very kind. Thank you very much for asking.
You're welcome. And then congratulations, Paul J., for your Sports Announcers Hall of Fame.
Oh, the Boise State Athletic Hall of Fame. Thank you.
Okay. And then that Luther guy has a right to his own opinion.
Sure.
Of what he said.
We like to listen to all opinions because sometimes they're interesting.
From left to right, yep.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And then that, obviously, Rich wasn't listening to the president the other day. He didn't say all of the teachers are going to be trained, have to be trained. Michael Savage reiterated, listen to that one point. He says, those who have a military background can be trained to use guns.
He did say that.
But Rich didn't hear that part of it.
True. In other words, if you're proficient with firearms, there shouldn't be a reason why you're not allowed to carry one in a situation like that.
Right. I agree with that.
Right. Good stuff. Thanks, Doug. Well,
Curtis of Boise says, just to let gun owners know, an AR-15 or other assault rifle is not protected under the Second Amendment. Well, not specifically.
Let's go to Gary of Emmett. Gary.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris. First of all, you know, it's against the law to modify a shotgun by cutting it down under a certain legal limit. It's also against the law to modify almost any semi-automatic weapon. If you're proficient, know the parts, and have a file, you can turn it into a full automatic. Now, you can own an automatic weapon with a federal license, but without that license, and modifying a weapon that wasn't one to become one is illegal. So I presume a bump stock, which will accomplish the same thing, can be, as the president asked for, called a modification that would cause that kind of a thing. However, the federal government apparently wants all gun enthusiasts to go deaf, because there is a way to own, with a license, a suppressor. And it's been shown that if suppressors were used on ranges, people who use guns to target shoot would have far less hearing loss. Even with a hearing muffs over your ears, chances are you're going to damage yourself because of the noise. And so suppressors, they've been trying to get those legal now. They don't make a gun silent. That's wrong saying that. But they cut the noise down a lot. By the way, just as a point, you know, you always say, Chris, that when every second counts, the police will be there in minutes. I love that saying.
Well, you know, I didn't make it up, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's another thing. You know, we should make all guns illegal. That will stop all the violence. Look how well it worked when we made drugs illegal.
Yeah. How did that war against drugs do?
You know, and what's funny is I heard, just to turn that around, I'll flip it, and it's not me flipping it. I saw this on Twitter. Somebody said, yeah, more guns is the answer to the gun problem, just like more heroin is the answer to the heroin problem. So you see,
right.
That's like exactly the opposite of what you just said. So.
Right. It goes either way. And
yeah.
You know what? The more guns part is true. America is well-armed. And the more guns part is why that it's almost impossible, if not absolutely impossible, to ever disarm the American population. But if you make gun ownership illegal, only criminals will have guns.
I've heard that somewhere.
A lot of bumper stickers back in the early 80s.
And they won't get rid of theirs.
Yeah. They tend not to follow the law. Thanks, Gary.
I said, well, that argument, see, everything is not equal. Not every problem is equal to every other problem. You know, that's where that thing came from, that somebody said, well, the whole way to solve the gun problem is to, you know, arm more people. And then somebody said, well, yeah, but is the way to solve the drug problem is to get more drugs out there? No, but I think if you have a money problem, the way to solve that might be to get more money.
Mm.
So, you see, not everything is equal on an equal footing to start with.
I know. We're out of time. Sorry about those we didn't get to. We had a ton of phone calls this morning.
Still some instant messages. They will be read and considered, but we are out of time for today.
It's 9:55. Have a nice weekend. Don't forget Kids Fair tomorrow, all day, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning at Expo Idaho.